Warning, do not listen to this podcast if hearing about freedom and liberty is not legal for you in your community. And if so, you should immediately move to a hipper community.
Welcome to the Freedom Fiends Podcast, where Michael W. Dean and Nima Vedati cover the punk rockinist, hip-hopinist current events, as well as timeless universal truths about life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, because there's no such thing as half-free. The Freedom Fiends Podcast, available from freedomfiends.com. That's freedomfiends.com.
Freedom Fiends is proudly syndicated by Alterati.com and the Liberty Radio Network.
Welcome to the Freedom Fiends Distance Learning Anarchy Series with Freedom Fiends Michael W. Dean.
Broadcasting from my windowless bunker.
And Nima Vedati.
Go, go, Freedom Fiends!
Nima Vedati, what's the difference between Ben Stone and Richard Nixon? The
difference? Penis size.
I don't know, man. I thought if I came up with a great setup, you could come up with a great punchline, and then we could just put out one-minute cast on April Fool's Day.
Yeah, yeah. Well, originally it was going to be, hey, Michael. Hey, Nima. Hey, the state sucks. Yep, that's about it.
Yeah.
End or scene. But no. You know, we couldn't get our April Fool's Day act together. Sorry, guys.
Yeah, I really...
Sorry that we didn't get to misdirect you and leave you with one-minute fiends. I know you would have loved that.
Yeah, I really hate April Fool's Day. The last time I did an April Fool's joke was probably 1987. I was on tour with my band Bomb in Utah, and I called my dad up on a payphone and said... Called him Collect and said, Dad, I'm in jail. And he said, oh, my God, where? What happened? And I said, April Fool's... And he didn't laugh, and I kind of feel bad about it. It's funny, but I'd never do that again.
Yeah. Yeah, I think the only one I can really remember, too, was when I was young, and it was my dad. And I think I said this on the cast once before, but I'll say it again, because it's been at least a year since it's now April Fool's Day again. But I went to a private school. It was Challenger Elementary.
Preppy.
Named after the space shuttle that exploded.
Up. Awesome. Yeah. That is truth in advertising. Yeah.
Right.
Schools, well, just, it's funny schools, because not that nothing about blowing up schools, just like schools are doomed to fail, and they are they are things right. that have defective O-rings.
Right. Well, actually, as a side note, now that I'm grown up, before we moved to Texas, I was looking at Austin for jobs, and one of the jobs was preschool teacher at Challenger. Like, I guess it's branched out, like it's a franchise now. You know, you can set up Challenger schools.
McChallenger.
Yeah, and their concept is, you know, they're academic. They're not really religious. They're like, oh, well, we'll teach your kid to be smarter than the other kids at those dumb public schools. And it's taken on almost sort of a right-wing lean to it, or at least a statist, maybe even libertarian Republican. I don't know, a constitutionalist maybe, because their application was an essay about what America means to you and what the American ideal is. And I just thought, they want me to go on and talk about Thomas Jefferson and Alexander Hamilton, probably, and how great they both were.
Yeah, and if you summarized the movie Guns and Weed, that would, even though it's kind of Constitution humpy, they would just throw you throw you in the trash.
Yeah, yeah. What does America mean to me? It means Washington, D.C. putting its boot on my face every day.
I've been going through lists of radio stations. I'm up to, like... approaching having contact info for 1,000 talk radio stations in America. And I look at the websites of them and I'm like, most of these people are going to hang up on us, man. I mean, like, we love Sean Hannity and Rush Limbaugh and America and God and Jesus and cat tractors. And they're just going to go, what? I mean, even like our softer, radio friendly, they're going to listen. They're going to listen to our promo and go like, what? What is what?
Man. I don't know. Maybe they'll be bored of Hannity and Limbaugh. We'll see.
Well, but some of them have to book us, or they're all going to go out of business in a few years. That's the way of the world.
Exactly. So before we went off on that good tangent, it was good. I'm proud of it. But I was at this school, Challenger, and I must have been in second grade or first grade. It must have been first grade. Yeah, and my teacher, she said, okay, it's April Fool's Day. And she taught us a little bit about April Fool's Day and how it was a day of pranks. And she taught us what a prank was. And she said, your homework is, if you want, you know, this is optional, I've got pink slips. You know, back at that school, that's what you'd get when you got in trouble. When you went to the office,
it's before they arrested you for getting in trouble in Texas. Yeah.
Right. Well, this was in Salt Lake City. The new franchise was in Texas. That's why that story was important. But this was back in Salt Lake City. In fact, Sandy, the suburb of Salt Lake City. And so she hands out all these pink slips and she says, you can write down whatever mean thing you want to your parents to think you did. And I will sign it as if it's a real pink slip.
Wow.
And so I wrote that I had thrown rocks at my fellow students, and when the teacher came to chastise me, that I had punched her in the face. I don't know why. I mean, I was second. It must have been
it's
like
the worst thing you could think of.
It was the worst thing I could think of, and other kids were probably doing similar stuff. So I wrote it out, and she signed it, and I brought it with me. And I told my mom, and I'm pretty sure she got on this too. I might be remembering that wrong, but I'm pretty sure she knew that it was fake. And we were both going to conspire to trick my dad. And we go to the ice cream shop because there was a Baskin-Robbins right next to one of his Ambassador Pizza restaurants. And so we went to visit him, and he was like, I'll take you out to ice cream. And I was like, yay, ice cream. And so after he gives me the ice cream and I start eating, and I'm like, Dad, I have some news for you. And I hand him the pink slip, and his eyes got real wide, and he got so upset. And yeah, I do feel bad about it, but
you should.
I was like, April Fools. Because my dad, he's a really smart guy, but sometimes when you grow up in another part of the world, you don't get these little cultural nuances. Like, I remember once I got a real pink slip, and I had mooned the whole class or something. And he goes, what does this mean, moon? And I'm like, oh, it's when you call someone a moon. You know, I was like, ha ha, you're moons. And he's like, I don't get it, but whatever.
Wow. Yeah.
Yeah.
I do nicer things for my dad. I gave him Mulan Labe, and he's reading it.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I wonder how he's going to react to that.
He's intrigued by it. He left a message asking me what that French term Moulin Labe means. And I wrote him back and explained it was Greek and explained the derivation of it. And yeah. Yeah. You know what today is, by the way? It's 2 years of the Fiends. And that's going to be the name of this episode, is 2 years of the Fiends. It was actually yesterday, but yesterday was... was a very strange episode. You weren't there. You were stealing time from the Fiends, as you do. It's part of the social contract that we have with each other.
It is.
I steal time from the Fiends by like looking up radio station addresses while we're doing a show, and you steal time from the Fiends by just not showing up and going on cruises and getting kidnapped by the Easter Bunny and having sex with him.
But I know the Easter Bunny is a dude, man. That's cold. That's some cold game right there, Michael.
I didn't even think about it.
Yeah.
Okay. I was more concerned about the interspecies aspect of it than the gay or straight aspect of
it. Well, my family was, or my wife's side of the family, who we are close, they're part of the reason we moved to Austin, a big part for her. And I have been at no family gatherings because family gatherings are all on Sunday. So they had begun to think I was slighting them and that I hated them because they thought that for some reason I didn't like them. And that's not true at all. So Easter's important to them, and I wanted to make sure I made an appearance.
Yeah. Yeah, yesterday was very, very weird. It was kind of, people said that they thought DJ slipped some Compliacin into my coffee. I was really mellow. You know, I think it's the water tube coming into my house has extra fluoride or something. I've been really mellow for like a week, and to the point where I can't get angry enough to like scream at the state and be interesting. As I put it, good husband, bad radio. But DJ says I'm always a good husband, but she's especially liked me the past week because I never get cranky at her, but I get cranky in myself, and she doesn't like to see me feel that way, you know, but I've just been like, hey man, it's all good. And two guys called in yesterday and had some incredible pod beef on our time. And I was just like, hey guys, why can't everyone just get along?
Give peace a chance.
Yeah. Didn't make for great radio. And you know, DJ's good at feeding off me if I'm agitated on the radio and feisty, you know, as opposed to cranky. But when I'm feisty, right. she's great at filling in and being the foil to that. But I just didn't have it in me. I was kind of like, hey, man. All right, let's take a call from Ben Stone. And Ben was really mellow and like almost too mellow. He was great. He saved the show, but he was really mellow. Lou called in. Lou was really mellow. DJ was really mellow. Everyone was really mellow except the two guys who called in with the pod beef. And I was just like the calm little eye at the center of the storm going, whoa, dudes, hey, cool out.
Mm. What was this pod beef about? It was Eddie Free and somebody else.
I don't know, man. Yeah.
You don't know.
Yeah.
You don't know.
Yeah. It was like Eddie Free called me the night before or emailed me the night before. I was watching a movie with DJ and I just happened to come in and check my traps. And he was like, I need to talk to you on the phone right now. And I'm like, I'm watching a movie. Can it wait? He's like, I've got to tell you this great story or not great story. He says, I've got to tell you this bizarre story. And I'm like, man, I'm hanging out with my wife. It's, you know, the end of a long weekend. Is it something you can talk about on the cast? And he said, yeah. And I said, call in tomorrow. And I sat up to take phone calls. We've also decided we're not taking phone calls until we get on radio and someone else is doing the call patching. It's just too much work to, it takes away from us doing a good cast. Often people never call in after we set all this stuff up. Sometimes people call in and just babble. You know, not people we know, and sometimes it's good, but even when it's good, the audio isn't very good. Calls suck. It's just too much work on our end for worse audio. And we're going to wait until we're on GCN and someone on their end is patching the calls. So,
yeah, but fiends don't fret. I mean, saying we're going to wait for GCN, that's not really that big of a deal because we're expected to be
before
on
the end of the month. Yeah.
Yeah, in 3 weeks. So 3 weeks without calls. We appreciate your patience. And obviously, you know, the chat room is really good for giving us instantaneous feedback.
And trolls. We had our first troll yesterday.
Oh, did we?
Which was funny because people don't realize, I guess, who trolled it. Like, one of the easiest places to block someone on the internet, if you're an admin, is an IRC channel. I mean, as a command, it just blocks them. And of course, they can come back with a different username, but I can block people all day, man. It's no problem. I like it.
Okay.
But yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, just chill on the chat room, you know. Go meet us in the chat room, freedomfiends.com, and then just click on Fiends Chat. It's got two little coffee mugs and a pink circle.
I think I'm going to make all the people who are regularly on there admins so they can all block everyone, block each other. Yeah.
Our fiend disciples, army.
Well, when everyone's armed, everyone's polite, right?
Yeah.
Everyone's armed with the ability to block. So the pod beef was, I don't know, Eddie called in, and I gave him a segment. And the guy he was beefing at actually called before the show when we were getting ready, and DJ took the call. The guy was uber polite and was just like, hey, I heard someone's going to call in and badmouth me. Can I have a chance to respond? And I told DJ to tell him, yeah, sure. So we gave them each one chunk, you know, set 8.5 minutes, whatever, between commercials. And I didn't talk at all. They talked. Eddie was still talking when the commercial was up, and, you know, then I was like, your time's up. The other guy called in and talked almost to the end of the commercial and then was like, so do you have any questions or comments? And I'm like, nope. And, you know, I think they wanted me to chime in, and I was just like, no, I'll give you guys airtime, but I didn't even really listen to the beef. I was like stealing time from the fiends. I had the headphones on, but I was doing stuff. So I didn't really hear it. It was something about like Eddie was trying to raise money for somebody who was.
Well, I saw that, and I thought I was wondering if it was related because I saw that some guy who owned a preserve, like some wildlife preserve that was very natural, I guess, and he wasn't following regulations. He was just letting nature take its course, you know, like we all believe in here in the anarchy movement. And the goons were like, oh, you're not following regulation, this, and that. And they came in with guns and like took away his ownership of the property or said they will or something insane like that. And so Eddie picked up the cause, which is a good cause, I guess, trying to support
this
guy.
And Eddie's a good guy. He tends to get really, he's limbically overstimulated about things. Like after the segment was over and the other guy came back, Eddie kept trying to call in while the other guy was talking. And then Eddie sent me 5 emails that were all in capital letters with multiple exclamation points. And one of them was like, I need to come back on. I didn't say the most important thing. And I'm thinking, I like Eddie. He's my friend. But if you can't remember to say the most important thing in 8.5 minutes, I'm not giving you more time. That's just all there is to it. With anybody.
So I guess I still don't know why somebody got upset. I guess maybe it was Nathan Cox. I'm looking on Facebook right now. Somebody got upset with Eddie for trying to raise money or?
It was something like, yeah, somebody didn't like the way Eddie was doing something. Eddie didn't like the way somebody else was doing something. The other guy that called in sounded really calm compared to Eddie, which, you know, is neither here nor there. But basically, it was something like, I think it was a misunderstanding of somebody thought somebody was scamming somebody, but they were just trying to raise money too. And the only weird thing to me, from what I heard of it, of the guy who called after Eddie, was the way that he set up the donations was something like, it was some site called GoFund Yourself or something. No, it wasn't even that interesting. It was GoFundMe. Okay. It was GoFundMe. And I'm thinking, dude, they missed a big opportunity. It should be GoFund Yourself. Yeah, but but it was something like, you know, they had a goal of $18,000 or something like that. And if that amount isn't raised, none of the donations are taken out of the credit cards of the people who donate. So, like, if they raise $17,999, the guy they're raising money for gets zero, and nobody puts any in. And I'm like, you know, $17,999 would be pretty much as useful as $18,000. And
yeah, but you see that, and then the person who set it up just goes, "Well, here, I'll fund it myself or something," right?
I mean, I doubt it.
$1.
Well, maybe, I don't know, but you know, but it, let's say it. Let's say they raise $15,000 and the person who set it up doesn't have $3,000. $15,000 would be pretty darn useful to somebody in that guy's situation, but
it would.
You know, it's set up so it doesn't work that way. And we
could always make the threshold really low, right? You could make the threshold.
But he didn't. It was five figures, whatever it was. It was low five figures. Mm-hmm. And that was the only thing we asked either of these people. DJ asked him, you know, why did you do it that way? And he said, it's marketing. I wanted to set up an immediacy or a need, because that drives people. And I was thinking, that doesn't drive me, man. Panic doesn't drive me to, you know, shell out my money. Panic for other people's panic doesn't help.
Yeah. Your own will drive you to buy an Optron 9000.
Right. But. Right. And beg for it. But
right. Right.
So that was the pod beef.
Yeah, I'm sorry, man. That's a bummer of a beef to have to deal with. A fight over the how-to on how to raise money for a cause that's noble. But, I mean, I don't know. I guess I'm just sorry I wasn't there Sunday. But it was important that I was with my family. And I did do some fiends missionary work or proselytizing, a small amount, by interjecting my opinions into the family conversation as necessary. And some interesting things I found out. I have some cousins who are into guns, obviously. These guys live in Taylor, Texas, right? Or in and around there. My wife's family, her grandpa owns a farm. You know, he sold off a lot of the acreage, but he owns a farm out there. And so this is rural Texas, good old boy. Some of them would be proud to describe themselves as rednecks. And the subject of 3D printing came up. And Cody Wilson. And I was like, oh, yeah, Cody Wilson. Yeah, Michael, my co-host, interviewed him. It was the first big media interview of Cody Wilson.
No, any interview. It wasn't even that big. It's Anarchy Gumbo. It's not that big. But
the Anarchy Gumbo. Yeah. Okay. But yeah, the first media interview with Cody Wilson. And they were like, oh, okay, cool. And one of them goes, I don't get it. Is that like fake? Like, how do you make a magazine out of paper? And I was like, no, it's not that kind of 3D printing. It's like actually plastic. And we sort of explained to them what it was. And one of them, there's two brothers. I don't want to say their names. But one of them was like really into it. And he's like, oh, yeah, that's really cool. And the other one was like, well, then you just have an unregistered gun. And now this is a dude who's like, completely hates Obama, is very anti-government. They both made fun of the liberals in Austin with me when I was telling them about how we can't carry or use or sell plastic bags at work anymore. Nobody in Austin can use plastic bags. They've been banned and are illegal. They're contraband. And they were like, oh, those dumb liberals up in Austin. But this one guy was like, well, then if you 3D print a gun, you have an unregistered gun. And that just like came out of nowhere. It's like, whoa. He's attacking me from the left here, or not attack, but attacking the argument from the left. I don't get that at all. And I was like, well, yeah. Well, why would you ever want the government to know who has the guns and why they have the guns? And I mean, that's what I thought we all agreed on that, right? I mean, I thought that was one thing right wingers were always good on, is never, ever, ever register your guns. But apparently not. Have you met people in Wyoming who are like, yeah, Second Amendment, no infringement. Unless you're registering guns, then it's okay.
I don't meet people in Wyoming.
You don't meet people. Oh, yeah.
But I used to be like that. When I first got guns in California, this is kind of cogent because I got guns in California. Well, actually, it's not ironic yet. If I'd been in New York, it would be ironic because basically I was bragging to a friend of mine who's a gun guy and has been for decades, and is he's not a constitution humper. He's not really an anarchist. He's apolitical. He's more of an outlaw. Like, he's kind of a biker guy, but uh-huh. Very ethical. You know, not what people think of when they watch TV documentaries about bikers murdering people over drugs or whatever. He's just a guy who's a biker and, you know, understands self-defense. And I was telling him, I bought some guns and they're legal and I'm law abiding and and they're registered. And he said, I don't know that that's something to brag about, Michael. And I'm like, what do you mean?
Right.
What do you mean? And he's like, you know, there could come a time when they could take guns away. And I'm like, what? Right. No, they're legal. really? What is what? I didn't get it. I was, and this wasn't some Fox News, they're going to take my guns. And this was before Obama. And this was like before the whole panic. And, you know, he said, you know, you should probably get a couple of guns that aren't registered and bury them. And I'm like, bury them? What? What are you talking about? And he's like, yeah,
I thought that was just an element on the periodic table.
Yeah, you know, bury him. You know, get some PVC. He said, get some PVC tubing, you know, put a handgun in there, a couple mags, you know, couple boxes of ammo, and seal it up and put some desiccant in there and bury it. And I'm like, what are you talking about? And he's like, man, you should do it. You know, do it on like public land where no one will find it and it won't be traced to anybody. And if it gets found, no one will get in trouble, and just bury it. And I'm like, I did not get it. I did not friggin' get it. I got it about 2 months later, you know, when I happened to basically my path to libertarianism, or even to minarchy, which is like, I can't understand how people like the people you're talking about, how they can't go from small government Republican even to minarchy, you know?
Well, I think, or did you, because take them there's there? A difference. There's a, I did not, you know, you don't want to get too heated at a family event, right? So you kind of just let things go and you don't really hit points hard. But, you know, I kind of feel like maybe there's a difference even between people who are at a tipping point for bringing themselves into minarchy and people who aren't really small government or limited government, therefore government limited to Republicans. And I also wonder if what's happening here is because the Democrats are going so crazy with their gun control rhetoric, if that's pulling some people who believe in statism and that and the whole two-party paradigm, maybe they're pulling some of the mainstream line-towing Republicans back across the line towards more regulation, you know, because you have people who are spokesmen for the NRA, like that guy that was on Piers Morgan, who said basically, well, what we want is, you know, we'd be okay with stronger laws about mental health and who can have guns and background checks and making sure the crazy people don't get the guns. Now, I don't think you would have Republicans saying that before Sandy Hook, or saying that that would be a good thing. And some of them are taking that as a position to defend themselves from the Democrats who say, oh, well, you're just insane and you want everybody to have guns and kill everybody all the time. And so the Republicans are taking cover in that. No. We're all for strong regulation and making sure that the crazy people don't get the guns. And so maybe some of that's going on.
Well, we're going to take a little break here soon and then come back and talk about how the governor of Wyoming, who you and I met and possibly helped get elected on his promises to take care of guns, you know, protect gun owners. Mr. We're going to talk about where he's at with it. Yeah. All right.
Yeah, that's a good point. Good segue. And yes, please stay tuned.
Worms.
A science fiction comic adventure from Big Head Press. Quantum Vibe. It's year 2523. There are colonies on Venus, Mars, and Mercury. People travel in bubbles, fly at hyperspeed, with brain implants and artificial gravity. A scientific genius and his clever assistant set out on an adventure through the solar system on a secret mission to find the key to access new frontiers and save liberty. Quantum Vibe. There's a robot girl and zany creatures made with genetically engineered features. And corporate villains crave the opportunity to steal a profit from mother's ingenuity. A scientific genius and his clever assistant set out on an adventure through the solar system on a secret mission to find the key to access new frontiers and save liberty. QuantumVibe.com.
Hi, I'm Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends, and like you, I'm concerned with privacy on the internet. The electronic police state is strangling our previous protections, and the central scrutinizer is trying to squint into all areas of our lives. That's why smart people surf the net with a VPN or virtual private network. I use a VPN from Bola VPN. Bola VPN has your utmost security in mind and will allow you to surf, email, and do other computing tasks without leaving a trail of breadcrumbs across the internet. Unlike many other VPN providers, Bola VPN doesn't log traffic. With Bola VPN, you can change your apparent location or disappear completely. Bola VPN has been around since 2007, which is OG in the VPN world. Bola VPN is easy to install and configure. Best of all, it can be had for less than 25 cents a day, which is a small price to pay for this much security. And if you open a support ticket saying you heard about them through the Freedom Fiends, they'll add 3 extra days free. That's Bola VPN at BOLEHVPN.net.
Should decisions on what you put in your body be left up to people whose very job depends on keeping certain plants illegal? Or do you believe in freedom of ingestion? The Janome Project is a cannabis science community founded by a leading DNA scientist. Get the app by searching Jane-Ohm on iTunes. The app is only $1.99 and all proceeds go to furthering and disseminating scientific truth. You must be 17 or older to download the app. Search Janome on iTunes. That's Jane-Ohm.
This is Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends. I've been on the World Wide Web since its inception in 1994. I've tried dozens of web providers in that time. The only one that hasn't broken my heart is HostGator. HostGator has unlimited server space, unlimited throughput, and a guaranteed uptime of better than 99.9% for only $150 a year. You can pay a little less elsewhere, but you'll pull out your hair dealing with anyone else. HostGator has great service and unlimited tech support only a phone call away 24/7, 365. HostGator is where pros like the Fiends host because we know how to do it right. Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the HostGator affiliate link on the right sidebar to sign up today.
Yeah, we're going to read an article from the Casper, what do we call it? The paper, what's our name for it?
The Red Star Tribune.
No, that's the other one. This is the
Prairie Pravda.
Yeah, the Prairie Pravda.
Ah.
Yeah, okay. And I'm going to comment. I'm going to interject. I'm going to interrupt. Not you, but the... it'll sound like you, but I'm interrupting the whoever wrote the article to comment. So go ahead.
Ah, of course. So yeah, I will set it up. Pretend for now that I am Dale Boren, a writer for the Casper Journal, a.k.a. the Prairie Pravda. Headline is... Governor Mead comments on guns and schools. Now, a little background. Me and Michael actually went to the shooting range with Governor Mead when he was running for governor. The question and the point of the story was it was a sweeps piece, and I set out to ask all the gubernatorial candidates if they would enforce the Wyoming Firearms Freedom Act, which of course said that if the federal government tries to infringe on the Second Amendment rights of anybody who bought a gun manufactured and sold inside Wyoming, that that federal agent could be imprisoned for a year or face a fine of something like $1,000. And so I was basically asking the governors if they would throw a federal agent in jail. The potential governors, right. And as fun B-roll, I was like, well, I'll ask them all this at a gun range while we're shooting guns like good old Wyoming people do. You know, kind of cheesy, but it was fun. And Matt Mead shows up, and he knew what he was doing. His PR people are smart, and he brought a couple of AR pattern Sig Sauer, like really expensive 223 rifles, and said, yeah, I bought like a crate of these when Obama got
elected.
Said
he bought six.
Six? Okay. Well, how many's in a crate? 12?
Yeah.
I don't know. So yeah. He bought a bunch, and basically trying to commiserate with us, like, yeah, I'm one of you people, you know.
Ich bin ein Berliner. Yeah. I'm one of you.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I'm a jelly donut. All right.
I'm a jelly Sig Sauer.
There you go. So yeah, and the way he answered the question when I put the question to him about how would he enforce and would he enforce the Wyoming Firearms Freedom Act, he gave a very politician answer of, if the situation is right, I will do whatever necessary, or something like that. That politicians
something
say
that
covers
you could
them both
totally,
ways.
Yeah. If you know, if you don't keep that promise, you can say, "Well, this wasn't the situation."
Exactly.
Whereas there was another guy running who was a, you know, minarchist Christian. I think a lot of people would say extremist. You know, he was what was the guy's name?
Malachi.
Angel Malachi. Who was totally like, I will challenge the federal government on every level possible. But like, you know, he didn't get that much of the vote. Although he got enough of the vote to say Wyoming is different from a lot of other states. First of all, you couldn't do this news piece in a lot of places. On either coast, you know, maybe in Alabama, but probably not. That's not on the coast. But like maybe in the Carolinas you could have done it. But, you know, nowhere in the northern east and nowhere in the west could you do a news piece? You know, you just would, your producer would say, what is what? No.
Yeah. Well, our whenever I did a story related to guns, it was highly rated and people liked it. And so when I pitched this, you know, I'd been there for a year and a half or so, and the news director was all about it. He's like, another NEMA gun story? Oh, yeah. Or something like that.
Yeah.
So
you were the highest rated guy there, and it has suffered since you've gone severely. They have people who, I don't want to denigrate them. I'm not going to say they're bad. I'm just going to say you were way better. You know, you and Tizzle were the best people there. And
And me and Tizzle sort of went in two very different directions. The other day I saw her on her Twitter. She was interviewing Joe Arpaio.
Did she throw him to the coals?
Sheriff.
Did she ask tough questions?
I doubt it. I mean, I could look at it, but I could tell from the pic and the caption it was Joe Arpaio getting back from his stint at the hospital, says he's committed to, you know,
He should be committed. He should have stayed.
Yeah, he should be.
But she's going to be on Fox News, man. She's the girl that's in the Guns and Weed movie, the blonde that everyone just falls in love with. She has it. She has that thing. She could be an actress, but you know, she's chosen news. I mean, she has it. Like everyone was like,
well, mainstream news is acting.
Yeah. She fell in love with, everyone fell in love with her. I mean, the comments on YouTube are like, oh my God, she's amazing. I'm in love with this girl. She's beautiful. And she loves guns. And it's like, she didn't hate guns, but she wasn't, those weren't her words. You and I and DJ wrote her words, and you were running camera, and DJ and I were taking turns on either side of you holding a bounce card to keep shadows off her face and her cue card with her words on them, words on them.
Yeah, she is an amazing person, but I was thinking to myself, I'm so glad that the last sheriff I interviewed was Richard Mack, who is way closer to any thoughts of truth than Joe Arpaio.
And you still asked him tough questions.
Right, right. Like, do you really think the Constitution is going to keep the federal government from doing anything? Because last time I checked, it hasn't done that at all.
Tizzle's going to be on, national Fox News or CNN national news within 5 years. I would bet money.
Yep, yep. I think so, and more power to her. But hopefully by then, most people will be saying, Fox News, who watches them? We all listen to the Freedom Fiends because they don't pull punches
and
don't bend their knees and bow towards the state.
You know, what I would have done if we'd had this to do over with the potential governors, not that it would have made a lick of difference, but I would have asked a tougher question so it could be used in a soundbite now of, look, you're going back on your promise.
Yeah.
I would have asked a question more like, do you solemnly swear on your children's lives, not children's lives, but, you know, do you solemnly swear on the U.S. Constitution, a stack of Bibles and the flag to never sign any laws that encroach on gun rights in any way and to use every power at your disposal to challenge any encroachments on law on gun owners in Wyoming.
Mm. Yeah.
You know,
that would have been lovely. I think you could do something like that as a follow-up. The thing is, the genre of local news doesn't really lend itself to strong wording like that.
It would when they're running for office, though. You know, think about all the people who signed Grover Norquist's tax promise thing.
That didn't help at all.
It didn't either. But at least people could say, "Oh,
those people are hypocrites."
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, that's a good point. That's a very good point. Yeah, I guess if I did have it over to do, I would do something like that. At the time, I guess I was worried about. You know, I had like 2 weeks to put this together, and I wanted to make sure I had all of them on board with it. And I didn't want to scare one of them away, because if you miss one or two, then you have, you know, it's really hard to do the story if you've only got one or two guys that are running for governor on this.
Yeah.
You need to have all of them.
I kind of feel bad about it in a way, like, not bad about it, not like we owe an amends, but I came up with the idea, and you made it happen. And I think it contributed to Matt Mead getting elected. Not that any of the other guys would be any better or girls would be better. But, we basically participated in politics by doing this.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's inevitable that you will if you're in the mainstream media, which is one of the reasons I got out of it, because you can't avoid it. You can't avoid it. And if you're in it and it's election night and you're not like, oh, I'm so excited. This is what we're here for. We're the fourth estate, baby. We're going to make sure people know about all this important dog catcher elections.
Yeah.
You know, if you're not like that, then it's not the job for you. And so it wasn't the job for me, because still to this day, during the election, Tizzle also tweeted, you know, how this is what she lives for. And I'm just like, ugh, really? I just can't get on board with that. And more power to her.
Yeah.
I'm not hating. She is an amazing person and very talented. It's just my path, I think, is different. And I hope that one day we can help bring enlightenment to the world instead of the status quo and real change, you know, striking the root. That's what being a radical is all about.
You know, if we were libertarian billionaires, I would just ask Tizzle if she wants to be paid $90,000 a year to just be on call and be our talking head for anything we come up with. and start our own network.
I don't know. I don't know if she'd do it. I think she might buy the status quo. I don't know yet.
Or you'd have to guarantee it for the next 20 years.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
Right.
'Cause that's about the length of, the TV viability of someone her age. Maybe she's about 28, probably 15 years more. So
okay, so
we participated in politics and we feel bad, and we're gonna read this,
and this is why we feel bad, because
I don't feel bad. F it, man.
This is Dale Bowren in the Casper Journal. Again, the headline, Governor Mead comments on guns in schools. Oh, and the picture here on the story is Mead shooting a gun, with the caption being, Governor Matt Mead participated in the celebrity media pentathlon as part of the Wyoming Hunting and Fishing Heritage Expo, of which I have done. And Tizzle actually won. So she is kind of a gun person, because she actually won the shooting competition in that. So here we go. He's a gun owner who owns many different kinds of guns. Some of them are what he describes as so-called assault weapons. He's a rancher, He's a husband and a father of two school-age kids.
Okay,
he's a lifetime member.
All of this right here is basically just bio, thumbnail, what writing? Dick writing.
Dick writing.
Yeah, just basically, he's your man, and here's why you should listen to him.
Yeah, yeah, totally. Especially this next sentence. He's a lifetime member of the NRA.
Yeah.
He's a former U.S. attorney, which just negates everything good about him ever. And today, Matt Mead is governor of the state of Wyoming. Here's the first quote in the story. I shoot them. My wife shoots them. My kids shoot them. So I believe you can have those guns and totally be a responsible gun owner, Governor Mead said, referring to assault-type weapons. Now, when did this switch happen that people now in news are calling it assault-type weapons? I've noticed that in a few different sources.
They've been called out so many times on the invalidity of saying assault weapons.
So they really think that adding the type in there is repentance? Is that really it?
Or it opens it up to, you know, you could bring a BB gun into it or anything.
It's even broader for them, so it serves their purpose even better. Yeah, maybe. All right. Asked for his thoughts on President Obama's gun control proposals, the governor focused on school violence. Mead said he recognizes that we had a tragic incident at Casper College. The Sandy Hook incident.
Bows and arrows, man. Somebody shot somebody with bow and arrow.
And there was a knife involved, too, wasn't there?
Nothing to do with guns. But, yeah.
Yeah. The Sandy Hook incident and things that have happened in the past, not only outside of our state, but in our state in terms of school violence, we need to look at what we can do better with regard to school violence. Such a politician answer.
Yeah, and there's something weird about the Matt Mead getting, you know, almost a full page in the paper about this. It's not surprising, but it's like, he really has nothing to say and things that are bad to say and nothing useful. I mean, really, it's like, and if he hadn't won the election, they'd be asking somebody else these questions who probably would have nothing to say, too. There's no plan in here and that has anything to do with protecting people. And the only plan in here is turning schools into jails and giving people mental health evaluations, which is intrusive, wrong, and won't stop. I believe that someone who is truly sociopathic and smart could sit down with a psychiatrist and pass with flying colors. I really do.
Oh, yeah.
Because sociopathy, by definition, includes the ability to mimic, the ability to read other people's emotions and body language and mirror them in a way that is pleasing to them. And
they have an understanding of empathy and other
feigning
people's
empathy,
emotions,
but
they don't use it for anything good because
they use it to get what they want.
They use it for manipulation. All right, so here's a Matt Mead quote here at the end of this paragraph that I just read. I don't know of any sort of thing, a single thing, or multiple things that we can do where we can ever get to a point where we can say our schools are 100% safe. And that's unfortunate, he said.
That's true, although I would say the thing to do is to get rid of schools and have homeschooling.
There you go. But even then, you can't. That's kind of a good sentiment from a politician, I think.
There's nothing you can do. Yeah, although I'm hearing that more and more and more. A lot of politicians and newspaper people are using that line because they don't want to be called to the, oh, right, we spent $1 billion more and this didn't do anything. You know, actually, there was a thing I sent you today that in England, the police are sending flowers to victims of crimes.
Yes, that was
saying,
perfect.
I'm sorry, we are not going to be able to solve your crime, but here are some flowers.
Yes, there you go. My wife said, well, I would just report a crime every day, and then I'd have a house full of amazing flowers.
That's a crime unless the police do it. Lying to the police is a crime, but the police can lie to you. So
right. A spokesman for the UK police, or I guess it's two departments here, Metropolitan and West Mercia. I want to call it Mercia. Mercia. A Met spokesperson said that giving someone flowers helps soften the blow and shows we are there to support them.
So it's insulting, man. It really is.
It's insulting, and think about how they got those flowers.
Yeah, they
although they do make a point that The bunches are either donated by wholesale firms or paid for using a police community fund gathered from proceeds from unclaimed property.
Why not give some money to the victim? Why spend $50 on flowers, you know, when someone gets their stereo stolen? Why not give them the $50?
Well, I was going to say that it comes from donations, and some of it does, but gathered from proceeds from unclaimed property sales. Is that like a police auction? I don't know if I'd buy that as being a voluntary means of funding.
Hey, someone in Rock Springs, Wyoming, someone in Rock Springs, Wyoming is looking at the Fiend site.
Oh, good for them.
I'm spying on them. It's probably a fusion center.
Ah, could be, yeah. So I do know that, what was I going to say about flowers? Oh, man, I forgot when you brought up
Rock Springs, Wyoming, like Beast Lick? Isn't it totally, well, it's got a population of 37,000. It's not really
It's
Beast
kind
Lick.
Of an interesting little town. I think there's, what I've heard is it used to be kind of a mafia town. And still it's kind of union thug and mafia thug, because everything is really geared towards blue collar type work, you know, mining and oil and stuff like that. Also, one of the first stories I ever did for K2 was the mayor supposedly has some kind of corrupt things with all these people, these blue collar and industrial type people. And without any kind of testing, I think, or proper public hearing or anything like that, he did this thing called, I forget what it is. But basically they have a crane and they lift up this giant, like multiple ton weight and just drop it on the ground.
And drop it on people. Drop it on people they don't like.
Well, they drop it on the ground because there's a lot of mines under where Rock Spring is. So if they want to build a new housing development, they want to make sure there's not cavernous layers and labyrinths of mine shafts. So what they thought they would do is they'd pound the ground with this heavy, heavy weight and just lift it up and pound it and do that over and over again to sort of pound it down to where there's not a bunch of holes and caverns in the ground. You can build things on it. But they did it too close for comfort to a lot of actual homes that then had foundation problems. So actual homes' foundations started to crack. The very thing that the government said they were trying to do this for was prevent, you know, foundation problems in the future. And then everybody started having foundation problems.
I actually saw a documentary on that technology yesterday. It's kind of interesting, on a show about preventing earthquakes. I mean, the idea is basically, in earthquakes, there is liquefaction of the ground, which is, it like the ground that usually holds together because of friction between the particles becomes liquid and houses flow down hills. And I've actually seen that happen in the Bay Area of San Francisco. But what they do is they come around and like pack the ground with this big earth humper thing. And it's supposed to prevent that. Mm-hmm. But you're saying that it caused it? It caused the sliding?
Yeah. Well, just think about it. You basically create small earthquakes, and it was like within a few hundred yards, I think, of some housing developments. And some of these housing developments were manufactured homes. You know, they were just basically double wide, sitting on cinder blocks, and the vibration from literally dropping 10-ton weights on the ground all day long for weeks basically cracked these people's homes in half. And they were completely blaming the government, but maybe they had something there. Of course, honest people have no recourse, as I'm fond of saying. And by the time I got to the story, they had been trying to get some kind of recompense from the government for like 2 years. And then I did a follow up on it a year later, and still nothing. And, you know, politicians would come out for photo shoots. Like, there was a few politicians that would come out and be like, I'm on the side of the people here. But, of course, nothing ever happened, you know, as far as I can tell, at least while I was in Wyoming. These people who had their homes cracked in half by the government, allegedly, and in my opinion, it seemed pretty likely. I mean, nobody can really guarantee those kinds of things or prove it. I guess you can, but I didn't. But still, man, it seems likely that the government cracked their homes in half. But of course, nothing happens. You know, the government cracks your homes in half, and then their response is, well, fill out paperwork for several years, and maybe you'll get some money one day.
Wow, you'll get a bag of plaster. All right, so Rock Springs. That was a good Fiends parenthetical. But back to the mayor of Wyoming, as I call him.
Ah, yes. Back to the mayor. All right.
The king.
So Meade said there is room for improvement. Last December, Meade asked a group of Wyoming people to get together.
So basically, we can't do anything, but we'll do something. That's how I read when a politician says that.
Yeah.
We can't do anything. Work. We can't do anything, but people want us to do something.
Right, right. Which it sums up the problem with it.
I also don't know that anybody in Wyoming wants anyone to do anything. I don't hear screaming for think of the children. I mean, so many people are armed here that it's, I don't know, heck.
There's probably a few people, man. There's some carpetbaggers. There's probably some, there's some liberals in Wyoming. People
there's people who roll their eyes. There's people who contact the governor who I don't hear about. Yeah.
Right, right. So Meade told them he wanted them to consider if there are some practical things that could be done to make Wyoming schools safer. So Meade's like, give me your ideas. That's why I'm here. So you can tell me what to do. All right.
That's leadership. That actually is good leadership in the sense of, you know, the way most people receive
it. But why do we need him in the first place then, as exhibited by the movie Kumare, which we will talk about later.
We talked about it yesterday. Did you see it? Did you see
it? I actually watched it. So,
oh, okay. Yeah, then we will talk about Kumare.
Okay. So here's another Meade
quote. You watched a movie I recommended?
I put it on in the background as I was cleaning the house. So okay. I didn't give it my full attention, but it did rivet people in the household. We all stopped what we were doing and stared at it when he made the big reveal. okay. So here's the Meade quote. I didn't form a formal group and give it a title or a travel budget. I just had some people who I trusted in terms of their advice and their expertise, either at school, homeland security, or law enforcement, and asked them to start looking at this issue. Who trusts somebody at homeland security?
The people who run the TSA, who, you know, finger children and stole a Target out of my dad's luggage.
There you go. There you go. All right.
Allegedly. I mean, who else could have done it? I guess a baggage handler could have said, this paper Target with holes in it is very valuable. I'm going to steal it to put with the iPods and iPads I've stolen.
Yeah, I don't think that's likely. All right. One of the first things the group started talking about was the role of school resource officers, which is a horrible. Those are the people that throw kids to the ground and handcuff 7-year-olds.
Yeah.
Yeah. School resource officers that's are totally, not a good idea.
That is such Orwellian language. School resource. To me, that sounds like the guy who orders the pencils and erasers, doesn't it? It doesn't sound like the guy who throws your kid to the ground.
In an honest world.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah, he's the guy who pulls out his taser and tells you to buckle your belt and tuck in your shirt.
Yeah.
Or else.
But, you know, like resource officer in a private company sounds like it would be the guy who's in charge of ordering office supplies.
There you go. Yeah. But not in Soviet America. All right. Can we expand their role? And I think that we can. And I think that we should. There's some expense associated with that. So that's one area I'm looking at. God, he's such a politician, man.
I will spend your money. Yeah. You know, and the thing is, with a state the size of Wyoming, I would guess that something like 5 people contacting the governor, not random voters, not the people who voted for the guy, but like 5 people who, you know, like one that's a teacher and one that's, you know, in charge of, I don't know, just 5 people that kind of matter, that don't necessarily even have a title, but just 5 people could contact the governor and demand something, and he probably feels he has to make some statement.
Man, the next paragraph is just awful. There's no Meade in it. The next paragraph is by the writer of this, who's Dale Bowron, and you know, when I read a paragraph like this, I have to check, and I did go up and check, that this is still in the news section. This is home/news. And this is one of the reasons I left the business, man, because when you define something that the state does, it's okay to be biased about it. And the bias is always towards the state. And this is a great example of it. So here's the next paragraph. This is not Matt Meade. This is the writer of this supposed news article. He says, school resource officers are police officers with a school beat. They help keep the peace, but can also be a positive influence that offers guidance and support to students and teachers, both in and outside of a school day. The presence of school resource officers sends a strong message that violence is not acceptable. Now, how is that anything but opinion and speculation?
And those people commit violence. I mean, they tase kids, they arrest kids for things that wouldn't be a crime, you know, a block away from the school. I mean, for like
they
having
your pants
sagging, or, you know, sassing somebody, or saying, I don't feel like doing that.
Or being tardy. They are men with guns in your kid's school. That's what a school resource officer is. It's a man with a gun whose job it is to intimidate your kid into compliance. And that's all they are. And now schools aren't about complying with actual morals. They're about complying with silly edicts that PTA and school boards make up that are ridiculous.
PTAs are kind of the ultimate nannies. I mean, the people who put themselves on PTA boards are nannies. It's a nanny job, man.
Yeah. I mean, do we really – who wants their kids to go to school and have a correctional officer, like they're in a prison with a gun, telling them what to do, with the threat of that weapon being pointed at their kid if the kid doesn't comply and submit accordingly or to the desires of the quote unquote resource.
And they
officer.
Generally don't
Who
point
on
their
earth wants that?
They generally don't point their guns at the kids, but they tase them and they throw them to the ground and they handcuff them because the kids are a lot smaller and they're not armed. So
right.
Right. Yeah, they can't defend
themselves. And the gun's always there. I mean, I stress again, a gun for everyone except for government, because there's no way the government can ever use a gun for good.
Yeah, and that's before we go to another break here, I want to really stress that a lot of people say, I've never had a gun pointed at me. You've had a gun pointed at you anytime a cop talks to you, because he has the ability to pull it out and point it to you for almost any reason at all and get away with it. It's the threat of the gun. I mean, most of the time, cops don't pull their guns, but they have them. They're threatening to pull them with their stance, the way they approach you, the way you're expected to comply. And it's a really short distance with a lot of cops from standing there with their hands on their hips, demanding some papers or something, to proning you out with a gun to your head. My stepson had it happen to him in Southern California. He rolled a stop sign and got pulled over by two cops, and they thought he looked like a gang member. You know, they thought, I mean, he had a shaved head. He's white. They were not white. It was not a white neighborhood. You know, I don't know if they thought he was like Aryan Nation or what, but they treated him like a gang member. They treated him like a potential terroristic threat because he had tattoos. He's really wiry and skinny and muscular and was wearing a tank top. And basically because he has an F you attitude, you know, and he didn't say F you to the cops, but he just kind of projects a what do you want, man, attitude when confronted with authority, like people probably should.
Yeah.
And they proned him out. They searched his car for no reason with no probable cause. And they found ammo, no guns, no drugs,
Did
no
he consent
money
to the search.
No. And,
really?
Yeah, they said, no, he told them, they said, do you have any guns, drugs, knives, weapon? They said weapons of mass destruction. They were kind of joking, but they asked that. And I've heard of cops asking that before. And he said, I don't have any of that, officer. I have an unopened, tin of Mosin Nagant ammo. And they found it. And he was handcuffed and proned out on the ground. And they said, these are illegal cop killer bullets. And they yelled at him for 45 minutes until their watch commander got there and said, these are legal bullets for an antique rifle. Let him go. So we're going to come back. We're going to go sell some things and do some honest work here and then come back.
Yes.
What does freedom mean? Tune in to LRN.FM to find out. LRN.FM is the Liberty Radio Network, a collection of live talk radio and podcasts, all coming from a principled pro-liberty perspective. LRN.FM show hosts aren't left, right, or conspiracy kooks. You can tune in 24/7 to LRN.FM via your phone, computer, satellite, and more. Listen free anytime at LRN.FM, That's LRN.FM.
If you like tranny hookers and shooting crocodile, tune in to FreedomFiends.com.
Want to contribute to liberty but short on cash? You can help the Freedom Fiends without even spending a post-1964 dime. Download uTorrent and start seeding Fiends episodes and DVDs to help keep us drone-proof. There's a Torrent Club link at the top of FreedomFiends.com. There you'll find our Torrent RSS feed and instructions to grab past episodes and automatically download new ones, even while you're away from the computer. You'll also get special episodes of The Fiends and Anarchy Gumbo days or even weeks before regular podcast subscribers who aren't torrenting. Leave your computer on, seeding the torrents while you're at work or asleep. The more people seeding The Fiends, the more drone-proof we'll be when the boot comes down.
You've read books, attended lectures, and you know the Constitution well enough to know it's a well-crafted blueprint to create an ever-increasing federal empire. But there's still one thing missing.
Buttons!
Freedom Fiends now has buttons. You'll get State Speech is Hate Speech, Anarchy Gumbo, Guns and Weed, and two designs for the Freedom Fiends. Wear them with pride. Use them to start conversations with statists. It's only $10 for 5 buttons, including shipping. Go to FreedomFiends.com and click on the link at the top that says Buttons.
So we've been doing this show for 2 years, and there's still tyranny.
Yeah, still tyranny.
Have we failed?
The government's been at their war on terror for more than 10 years, and there's still terrorism.
The government's been at their war for a few thousand years. The governments, yeah, the states.
The war, right.
The government's war on people. Your people started it. I think someone else started it, and then the Persians perfected it. You guys invented taxes, didn't you?
According to Ben Stone, it was Jericho that's the first state he recognizes.
I thought he didn't recognize any state.
Oh, there you go. Good point. The first state, when he describes the evolution of the state, that's sort of the first thing that you could actually call a state. But the Persians had a big empire. And, you know, Persians or Iranian individuals, they almost like to wear that as a badge of pride. And I guess when I was a kid, I was like, yeah, we're not just some country that people talk about bombing and make fun of the Ayatollah. You know, we used to be big and powerful empire. And this is kind of a thing in the Persian diaspora here in America. So they'll be like, you know, once we had a great empire, and they like to remind people of that, you know, we're not just some third world Cambodia thing. No offense to Cambodia, but you know, they used to be one of the centers of, quote, civilization. But in reality, it was really an empire. And here's the other thing is people like to say it was some kind of benevolent empire because they allowed people to practice some form of religious freedom. And that's somewhat true. In fact, it's even in the Bible that, you know, the Persians would come in and you know, as long as you paid your tribute, they let you run things yourself.
Have a religion license.
But that's it, though, right? Is you still have to pay your tribute. You're still not free.
A God permit. As long as you registered and got a God permit.
So really what they did then, I guess their contribution to the modern state, is they invented the concept of the big cage, the free range empire, of letting your citizens on your tax farm have more freedom than previously conceived of. That way they're a bit more productive. And all you do is you have them come to Persepolis at the end of the year and pay their tribute. And other than that, it don't confront you none, long as you get your tribute by Friday, kind of a thing.
Which Larkin Rose and Stefan Molyneux have pointed out that current politicians are doing it wrong. They could have a thing that would sustain a lot longer with a lot less unrest if they'd be a little softer on the tyranny and a little slower at increasing encroachments. But they've forgotten that lesson of how to run a tax farm, and they're just going balls to the wall.
Well, I think it's because they're panicking. They're panicking because they've got this new threat of information and people being able to get it completely instantaneously and for free. And because of that lack of a barrier, man, people are more aware of what's being done to them and who's doing it. So they're panicking and they're going in the wrong direction with it. And I mean, I guess that's why people tell you don't panic. You know, when you confront a threat, the worst thing you can do is panic, because you're going to lash out, you're going to act out, and you're going to end up doing something that's counterproductive productive to your survival. And maybe, I mean, we've made that point before. The state is a dinosaur thrashing in the tar pit, or it's a T-1000. If it could just calm down.
Yeah, like instead of spending the money on roads and statues and fountains and pretty things that people like, they're spending them on drones, spy software, and really insulting flowers for victims. That's all signs of panic.
Well, it is. And maybe they're smarter than we're giving them credit for here. Maybe that what they're really trying to do is while they can, while they're at this sort of insane size of government, you know, the American state, the DC, is the biggest, most powerful government in the history of the world by orders of magnitude. And they are in a position where if they throw all of their vast resources at building technology to circumvent the technology of freedom, maybe they can actually have one of these totalitarian dystopias we've read about. Maybe they are taking the lead of 1984 and Brave New World and trying to devise ways of keeping people under control technologically, to where people don't even ever notice their own slavery. And if they do notice their own slavery, they're completely powerless to ever escape or become free again.
So go on with the mayor of Wyoming, the emperor of Wyoming.
The emperor of Wyoming, right. The governor, yeah.
Well, they're treated that way. Word? They're treated that way. I mean, they're treated like, okay, wise person who is smart because some people who can barely read voted for you. Oh, that's insulting. I take that back. I mean, there's a lot of people that can read in Wyoming, but you know, the average Wyomingite gets his news.
It's great that you have to clarify that.
People get
there's a lot of people that could read here, man.
There's a lot of people here who watch a lot of Fox News and have a high school education. Yeah, yeah. So a Wyoming high school education, which doesn't rank well, and that's another thing that they want to steal a bunch of money for.
yeah. Although, you know, I've seen some things that are kind of heartening. There was, I guess it wasn't a high school, but there was a middle school, a new one in Casper that I remember going and covering when they were about to open it up. And they had added, they basically built it to be almost a vocational school. It had a big emphasis on actually doing things rather than reading books. Like there was a lab for aquaculture. There was a lab for like airplane design. There was all sorts of really interesting and high technology stuff for doing hands-on work, which I think is a good thing. I mean, obviously public schools are never a good thing, but it's better than sitting in a chair and reading and getting brainwashed all day, I guess, is to actually do things. But I guess that's a good seg into the next paragraph here on this Matt Mead article. Wyoming has and is continuing to spend billions of dollars building new schools. So maybe all the labs are just an excuse to spend more money here. Mead said the state needs to determine the appropriate standard to physically harden schools as they're built. That's the cheapest time to do it, he said, as it's a fraction of the cost of a new school. It's worth doing. Let's make these buildings safe as possible. So I guess that's the point you were trying to make of let's basically turn schools into prisons.
Yeah.
He's saying instead of retrofitting them, let's build them as prisons are built from the get-go.
Yeah, basically having one point in and out, which is not good from a fire safety standpoint, and then putting armed men at those points. I guess it makes sense, you know. And we're going to get into the mental health thing, too. And we were talking before, and we never really kind of finished that up, of like, it sounds sensible to the average statist, even if they're a Republican. Well, of course, we should spend more money on mental health and you know, test people for mental health issues and be aware of them and have tip lines where you can report people. That is so abusable, though, man. You don't like your neighbor mowing the lawn at 8 in the morning. You call up and say, I think he's mentally unstable, you know? And then they have to check it out in a scenario like that.
Well, anytime you set up these sort of snitch channels, they will always be used and abused. I mean, that's why we have people still in Guantanamo, even though the government has said there's no reason for them to be there. They could never be tried successfully in a military or a civilian court. The president won't release them because it'd be politically inconvenient and Republicans would attack him from the right. But the reason most of those people are there is because they put out a directive in Afghanistan man, that you, hey, you can snitch on terrorists and we'll give you $10,000. And so Hamid over there, who hated Ahmed for having more goats than him, would call up the CIA or
I'm laughing, or the military, but it's possible. You know, it's possible.
No, that's literally what happened. They've admitted to as such. There's I mean, not those names or that reason, but there was a lot of people that were just vendettas, that were just local warlords rounding up people they didn't like and calling up the American officials and saying, hey, these are some terrorists right here. Come pick these guys up. You know, and it's some big percentage. I don't remember the number, but it's some huge percentage of the people in Guantanamo were just picked up because snitches didn't like them. And they called the government and said, oh, I'm going to snitch on these terrorists for you. And so if it happens over there, of course it could happen here if you set up a snitch culture. Of course, if you have something where you know, if you say such and such has mental health problems, we'll take his guns away forever. You know, and you've got a neighbor that you hate and you always beef with and you hate the fact that he's well-armed and you don't want to be polite to him because a polite society is an armed society. Then you call up the mental health department and say, oh, Joe down the street, he's completely crazy.
Yeah, and there's a Dead Kennedys line from a long time ago that basically says it was during Reagan's tenure, and it was talking about America headed towards a basically Christian Sharian rule. And it said, pissed at your neighbor, don't bother to nag. Pick up the phone and turn in a fag. And that's cogent. I mean, that's kind of where it seemed like it was headed, to where you could do that. And I would be willing to bet, actually, I know without even checking, Jello Biafra, who sang that line, would be totally behind the idea of snitch lines for people who might own guns, who you think might have mental problems. He would be absolutely behind that.
Yeah. I mean, that's what it boils down to, folks, is it's not why you do the bad things. It's that you're doing them at all. It's not why you have snitch lines. It's not why you have men armed with guns who it's completely okay if they kill somebody. It's not because they're doing it to protect the children. It's not we have snitch lines to protect ourselves from guns. It's the fact that you have these things that are immoral in the first place. The ends justify an immoral means.
When you say these things that are immoral, like what do you mean?
Yes,
clarify.
Things like snitch lines, that's immoral. Things like the state in general is immoral. Things like a police force who basically has a license to kill, because whenever they kill, what they do is circle the wagons and they get their story straight, and the prosecutor makes sure that the cop gets off scot-free and gets nothing but a paid vacation. These things are immoral, and it doesn't matter that you're doing it because you think we need to get guns off the streets or keep them out of the hands of gang members, and it doesn't matter if you think that the only reason we're doing them is to keep schools safe. Those don't justify the horribleness of those types of things. They don't justify the horribleness of the state.
So read on.
Yes. And here we go. Another big gun-related issue is mental illness. Mead said this is a difficult issue. I wrote to Vice President Biden in early January because he was the one leading the president's charge on the gun issue.
Who writes to Joe Biden? I mean, even if you're statist, who writes to Joe Biden? Joe Biden is the joke of the Obama administration. It's like, it'd be like, you know, 25 years ago, I wrote to Billy Carter because I wanted him to get President Carter to do something.
Right.
Man. Right.
You write to Joe Biden and he snail mails you a cartoon drawing he did with crayons.
And misspelled his own name in. And it's funny because Joe Biden was literally added to the ticket so old white people who were liberals wouldn't be afraid to vote for a black guy.
Ah, there you go.
You know?
There you go. Yeah.
But once Obama was president, I mean, I think that they did the best they could to keep that guy away from microphones and cameras. And even so, there's actually a character in what's that show we like? The one about the congressman? House of Cards. House of Cards. Ah. There's a character in there, the vice president in there, is Joe Biden. I mean, he literally looks like him. He's the same age as him. He's as goofy as him. And they do a really good job with it. But yeah, okay, go on. He wrote to Joe Biden.
Well, apparently, according to Matt Mead, Joe Biden is leading the president's charge on the gun issue. Matt Mead, here's another quote. I pointed out that I thought mental illness was one issue that, as we look at school shootings in particular, is a common denominator. All right. Mead said the issue is complicated and how the state deals with mental illness as it relates to purchase and ownership of guns is important. But he said he also wants to be respectful of those who suffer with mental illness and doesn't want to add a stigma outside of the gun issue. A related issue the governor is trying to tackle is the suicide rate in Wyoming. I think one of the issues, particularly amongst men, middle-aged men, is there's a stigma attached to certain mental illness.
Yeah, everyone wants to take their guns and they don't see a reason to live anymore.
And they don't seek the help that they need, so it's not easy.
I will never kill myself, and I will say it again. We said it at the end of the movie. If I'm ever found dead of a suicide, it was murder, and there was probably a government agency behind it. The last thing I would ever do is kill myself. Ever. Yeah. Ever. I mean, you know, maybe if I had terminal cancer and was in intense, insane pain that like narcotics couldn't treat and I was dealing with it for years, you know, maybe. But no, man, I'd never kill myself.
Well, here's my thing is nobody ever, ever, ever in the government ever wants to look at the root cause of any of this. You know, they don't want to realize why mental health is such a problem.
I think the government makes people crazy, man.
It really does. And that does, that's not just a, you know, hyperbole there. I mean, the fact is that we have a society where violence is used to solve every single problem. And self-accountability is never taken upon itself by members of the government. And these are the people that the media deifies and makes the people that we're supposed to look up to. So if we see Hillary Clinton murdering people and she's you know, lionized as this amazing, powerful woman, and then when she does something wrong or apologizes and says, I'm here to take accountability, all she has to do is say, I'm sorry. All she has to say, yeah, well, maybe that wasn't the best idea. And then she could just go on murdering and murdering and murdering.
And that's rare. It's rare that they do that, but that's all
they
have to do
ever. Yeah. For somebody. Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. And, you know, I look at the fact that during Obama's term and a quarter or term and a half, whatever, not only like there's been a lot more in the media about violent crimes, like people going into work and shooting everybody. Part of it is just the increasing 24/7 news cycle and the internet getting everywhere on smartphones to where, like, you know, you have the news all the time. But part of it is the numbers are up too. And it's not racial. You know, it's not, oh my God, we got a black president. I got to kill black people. It's not that, regardless of what the SPLC would have you think. It's not people shooting politicians because they don't like what's being done to them. It's people shooting random or people they know, like going into their work and shooting up a bunch of people. And that has vastly increased in the past 5 years. And is there a direct correlation between a president who's putting the boot tighter on everyone's neck? Maybe, maybe not. I don't know. But that's never addressed.
Yeah, exactly. That's the point, is it's never addressed. We never, the mainstream never gets to address the fact that we have a whole society that is literally maddening. I mean, it doesn't surprise me at all that we have a high incidence of suicide or mental health issues. I mean, and think about high profile suicides that were admittedly directly caused by the state, like Aaron Schwartz. I mean, yeah. I know every man makes his own decision and no man can force you to commit suicide by definition. But one of the reasons he was having such a tough time was for the very fact that he was doing nothing but trying to free information to the world and make it public.
He was facing more time in prison than you'd get for like torturing and murdering a child. I mean, he was facing like 50 years in prison. You know, basically life.
For trying to do something that is on its face not a bad thing to do and a very good thing, a freeing thing for the world. He thought of himself as a freedom fighter, and society, or the state, I don't want to conflate those two, the state was treating him like some kind of mass murderer as they go out and mass murder people all day. I mean, that can make you go crazy. I could see how that would really affect your mental state and mental health.
Yeah. And, you know, people say that laws are better in some places because, like, for instance, the Wyoming State Constitution, this is a segue back to Matt Mead. The Wyoming State Constitution says that, you know, every adult over 17 and under 65, I think it is, who owns guns and doesn't have a religious objection to owning guns is part of the state militia. Basically, that means Matt Mead can call me up to annex Utah or to, you know, to shoot pot dealers if he wants. I don't know what he would do, but am I really, like, do I have a choice in that? I guess I would have a religious objection to the being a servant to the God of the state of Wyoming.
Right.
But I guess that means that I'm legally disbarred from owning weapons. I could be. There's an argument that a federal attorney could probably make for that.
Yeah,
I don't have any guns. I lost them in a voting accident. So read on.
There you go. Okay. Yeah. Mead takes no comfort in the idea of limiting the capacity of the number of rounds that fit into an ammunition magazine. Okay. He's kind of right about that.
He takes comfort in limiting the people who can have guns, I think. Because he bragged as a federal attorney. He put out press releases bragging about how many felons he'd taken guns away from. And they were felons for drug violations, like nonviolent people who'd never heard a fly, or maybe wouldn't never heard a fly, but had, you know, no more reason to be suspect than Matt Mead for gun ownership.
He bragged about infringing on the right of the people to keep and bear arms, basically.
Yeah.
So here's another Mead quote. "I don't know that there's much comfort to any of us to know that somebody's going into the school with an 8-round mag or 5-round magazines." He points to the damage one shotgun did in the theater shooting in Colorado. "It's just hard to say that if you do this, the violence won't continue." All right.
Go on.
Should we continue with Mead?
Yeah, because there's other stuff in here. How much more is there of this?
We're about halfway. No, about two-thirds of the way through. All right. So, I'll go on. The letter Mead wrote to Vice President Joe Biden was in response to the Vice President's request for input following the Sandy Hook Elementary shooting. He pointed out the weapons used in the school shooting incident at Casper College were a crossbow and a knife. Mead's letter recognized that the issue is difficult, but told the Vice President that the use of presidential executive orders isn't the right way to address it. "What I said to the Vice President is, we'll follow the Constitution of Wyoming and the U.S. in Wyoming. We want you to do the same."
Okay, I want to jump ahead here because this is long, but basically what this comes down to, it seems to me like he's saying at one point that if the feds outlaw guns, he will go along with it and not challenge it, which is totally not following through on his campaign promise. Well, I guess with his little asterisk of if the moment is right. But,
right.
You know, and he goes on to say, let's see, what disturbed me about this? Okay, "What disturbed me about this legislative season, particularly the gun issue, is this. I don't know that anybody gets to say, I'm the person on guns and I write this bill, and any comma that's changed or any word that's deleted, that somehow makes you anti-gun." And I think he's talking, the one person I think he's talking about is Anthony Bishard, because he's the one guy that's really standing up in the face of these people all the time and helping write legislation and lobbying. And, you know, for what it's worth, he's the reason. And we like him. We like Anthony. I mean, he works within the system, but I like him because he is David to Goliath. He is the little guy kicking the toe of the giant and succeeding. I mean, he is literally the reason you can conceal carry without a permit in this state. And, you know, violence has not gone up one iota because of that. I really think not many people started carrying after that. I think everybody who wanted to carry either already had a permit or was already carrying without a permit, because it was only a $700 fine. It wasn't even a felony. Let's see. He said, according to Mead, anything that comes out of Congress is going to end up in the court system. "I'm prepared to go there, but I don't think you set a good example by saying defend the Constitution by creating a law that's contrary to the Constitution." This is my biggest problem with this whole thing. He's basically saying any law that challenges the federal government isn't good and I don't back it. That's what I get out of that. You know, if I'm wrong,
The parenthetical here is he's talking to House Bill 104, which proposes any federal law attempting to ban semiotic firearms or limit the size of ammunition magazines would be unenforceable in Wyoming, and the bill includes a penalty.
It's basically
Meat is saying that bill.
It's basically the Wyoming Firearms Freedom Act with specific the Wyoming Firearms Freedom Act was the most teeth included, you know, the most like actually had teeth of the federal of the state firearms freedom acts that were passed. There were six or seven states that passed them, but the Wyoming one actually said we can throw a fed in jail. But it only covered guns made in Wyoming. This bill goes further because it covers any gun owned in Wyoming that stays in Wyoming. Right. It doesn't have to be made here. So basically, you know, the other bill,
and it increased the penalties too.
Yeah.
The teeth got bigger.
Yeah. The other bill covered probably less than 1% of the guns in the state. This bill covered 100% of the guns in the state if you don't take them out of the state. So,
right.
And he doesn't like it. You know, he basically says, I really think that any bill, any federal gun bill would be an infringement of the Second Amendment, if you want to look at the law on its face. And he's basically saying, I don't believe in the Ninth and Tenth Amendment. I don't believe that states have, you know, the Ninth and Tenth Amendment talk about the states having sovereignty when over unconstitutional things by the federal government. And he's basically saying, I don't see it that way. I don't think that's a good way to approach it. He's basically saying, write your president if you don't like what he does.
There you go. Yeah. Well, and he's taking the very liberal view, or not liberal in the classic sense, but the Democrat or statist view of the Supremacy Clause, which they read as saying that, you know, the federal government supersedes the state and local governments in other jurisdictions. But what it actually says is federal laws that are in pursuance of the Constitution are supersede. So if a law is not in pursuance of the Constitution, even if it is federal, it doesn't matter. It's basically – it's not supreme in that case.
Yeah. You know? And
so if a law infringes on your right to keep and bear arms, it's not – obviously it's not in pursuance of the Constitution because it violates part of the Constitution. So it would not be supreme over any law like Wyoming's Firearm Freedom Act.
And his final comment here in this article is about the turmoil in the legislature – about guns in the last session. He says, it immediately became inflammatory and immediately became, if you change this or not, you're pro-gun or you're anti-gun and you're going to be chastised one way or the other. And I think that issue in particular was difficult for legislators to work through, Meade said. Basically saying, I want to do things that are anti-gun, but if I'm called anti-gun, I don't like being called anti-gun and it's not fair. That's how I read that. Right. And I could be wrong, and Matt Meade is totally welcome to come on by phone or in person. He can come over here and we can sit down and pet my cats and have some coffee. I usually only do interviews on the Anarchy Gumbo, but he could come on The Fiends, which is much more popular and going to be on radio soon. He likes to be on radio. He could come on here. We would interview him, wouldn't we? We could sit him down in the same chair my dad sat in. I'll give him the same groovy microphone, make him sound really good. So, yeah, he can come on here. read his pen pal letters with Joe Biden.
Wouldn't that be? Yeah, there you go.
Joe Biden's my pen pal.
That would be fun. Although, maybe you should do a gumbo. Or should we have him on the actual Fiends? I'd like to get in on this, too.
I don't talk to politicians, but I guess I'm just saying.
Double the Fiend gumbo.
You know, I don't – like yesterday the guy said, well, I heard on the internet Eddie Free is going to say bad things about me. I want to come in and defend myself. I'm offering the opportunity. I'm not going to contact him. I don't want to talk to politicians. But I would – in the – being fair and balanced, I would give him the opportunity if he heard this and didn't like it and wanted to come on here. So
Okay.
All right. Let's go sell some things in the legitimate free market that doesn't involve government guns being pointed at people. It's time.
Let's go ahead and call this an it, and then we'll go ahead and get to our next it.
We're doing two today?
So if you have some closing arguments, yeah, we're going to do two today.
Oh, I didn't know you made that decision. No, you didn't make that decision until now. I didn't hear that, but I am so amped on coffee.
You said,
I'm willing to go.
You said, how about we do 2 1-hour casts? And I was like, yeah, let's do it. But that was an hour and a half.
Okay. All right.
So if you want to do two 90-minute casts, let's do that.
All right. Let's go. All right. So say worms. Right. I don't know. Do we have a closing statement?
Worms.
Wait. The government's bad. The government's stupid. And 2 years of the fiends. We rock. And radio. Yeah. Radio. Fiends, do some worms. Do some effects with radio.
Radio. Well, I can't hear my other effects at all. My
sounds, sounds great.
Does it sound effective?
Sounds okay. Great.
Great.
Worms.
Love the fiends and want to help out? We do take donations and we put them back into our Liberty projects. You can make a donation by clicking on the spinning coin on any post. But what if you want to help but you ain't got no cash? Or you made a donation and you want to help more? Here's how you can help. Download and seed our torrents to help keep us drone proof. There's a torrent club link at the top of freedomfiends.com. You can also blog the fiends and share episode links on Facebook, Twitter, and elsewhere. You can rate and review our movies on Amazon and IMDb. You can rate and review the Freedom Fiends and Anarchy Gumbo and our songs on iTunes. That really helps a lot. You can buy our movies and share them with friends or give them out as gifts. And one of the best ways to spread liberty is to buy a bunch of Freedom Fiends buttons and give them out as gifts. Wholesale prices are available, and you can also comment on our site, or better yet, comment about us on other sites. And please email the site link to all your friends. Thanks for helping spread the Fiends message worldwide to as many Liberty people as you can, especially to those who don't yet get it. You rock.
Creamy Radio Audio. Want caviar sound on a cat food budget? Creamy Radio Audio by the Freedom Fiends has great free tips so you can sound like a pro without spending like one. The most powerful form of human communication is one person speaking to another. But if people have to suffer through your sound, they'll change the channel and miss your message. With articles on microphones, preamps, recorders, mastering, recording remotely over the internet, doing a podcast, even getting a show on actual radio, the Freedom Fiends show you what they use and where to get it. Whether you're a talk show host, voiceover artist, podcaster, evangelist, or just want to record your loved ones for the ages, at Creamy Radio Audio, the Freedom Fiends will help you make the most of your sound. Creamy Radio Audio will help you speak to the world with sound that will make people want to keep listening. Check out creamyradioaudio.com. That's creamyradioaudio.com.
Hello, Freedom Fiends. It's your boy Dean from the U.S. Get the U.S. out my bloodstream. I own me and that includes endorphins. No one won't ask permission and I won't say please. Freedom fans, one fact that I gotta make clear.
The Freedom Fiends podcast is covered by a Creative Commons Attribution Share-alike 3.0 license. Do what you want with it and spread it around. Tell two friends. Make copies. Email it to everyone you know. Go on the site and comment. This is a conversation. 3 times a week, Michael W. Dean and Nima Vedati share their own unique take on the way the world works and how to find your place in it. Available from freedomfiends.com. That's freedomfiends.com.
Freedom Fiends is proudly syndicated by Alterati.com and the Liberty Radio Network.
Subscribe and tell two friends.
And remember, the only power they have is the power you allow them. We're not saying the Freedom Fiends are the one true path to anarchist liberation, but it's a good one. If you want to put your voluntarist money where your mouth is, consider making a donation to the Freedom Fiends. Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the spinning coin on any post. Then make a one-time gift via PayPal or set up a monthly contribution of as little as $3. Giving to the Freedom Fiends helps advance education of horizontal liberation throughout the world. The Freedom Fiends. We work hard, so send us some money.
I'm not going to say SERP like a northerner.
Okay. All right. Go ahead and say it again. Just try to enunciate the Texan.
SERP. Okay. Got it. Yep. All right. Yeah. Or stay home and drink lots of cough SERP.
Really? That's the Texan way?
SERP. Yeah, okay. Sipping SERP.
Give me one more.
SERP sipping.
Give me one more.
If you could spell it in Texas, it'd be S-E-R-P.
Okay. I had a friend in Charlottesville named Richie SERP.
All right. Yeah, or stay home and drink lots of cough SERP. You want me to pee? I should pee, one more. Pee, maybe. All right. Yeah, or stay home and drink lots of cough SERP.
Nailed it. All right.